New Planty Trend Alert, plant friends. Tiny plants are where it's at. They are the curious collector's dream type of plant and an awesome option for plant parents who are working with limited space or are obsessed, like me, with teensy tiny little adorable things like miniaturized pots and miniaturized plants and miniaturized kitchenware and miniaturized anything. I love a good tiny, teensy, adorable thing. And Leslie Halleck, one of our favorite recurring guests from Bloom and Grow Radio, joins us today to talk about her obsession with tiny plants that has been long going and so strong that she actually wrote a book about it. Leslie shares her tips for caring for them and gives us a little matchmaking session where she pairs the perfect tiny plant for each plant parent personality. It's so fun. And as always, Leslie is just the best. And she is part of a huge announcement that you will hear later in the episode. Get ready. Teensy tiny adorableness is in your path. Right after you're welcome to episode 121 of
Bloom and Grow Radio.
Hello, plant friends. I hope you've had beautifully planty weeks. I am looking at the fern that I have not killed yet, and I am very proud. I planted up a fern terrarium. I documented it on my YouTube channel a couple of months ago. And plant friends, my asparagus fern is currently throwing off all sorts of new growth. I got another little heart leaf on my heart leaf fern too. So that's my plant win for the week. I hope you've had some plant wins as well as we are entering spring. I'm so freaking excited. Thank you so much to our newest Patreon supporters, Rachel, Lauren, and Anne. You gals are the best. I am so moved by our community of listeners who support me. Okay, speaking of our community of listeners, plant friends, I'm going to let you in on a little secret. Next month, we have a major launch coming, something really fancy and really cool. I'm going to give you two hints. It's rooted in education and it's rooted in community. And actually, I'm going to give you a third hint. Leslie Halleck, our very own Leslie, might be intimately involved in it. So if you want to join the waitlist to be the first people to hear about the launch and be able to snag your spot ahead of time, click the link in the show notes or visit the community tab on the website to join the waitlist, because we're going to be launching and there's going to be a special incentive for people who join first. Oh, it's going to be so cool. I can't wait to tell you guys more soon. Okay. Tiny plants. I'm obsessed, but Leslie Halleck, our favorite return guest, is even more obsessed than me. They're just so freaking cute, right? Like, we're in plants for the aesthetic. We love green friends, and tiny plants are where it's at. I have like five tiny little 2-inch pots on my desk that I look at throughout my workday, and they're just so joyful and so fun. So Leslie just published her new book, Tiny Plants, all about tiny plants. And it's actually surprising that tiny plants actually have different care requirements than just our normal, you know, 4, 6, 8-inch house plants. We're so lucky to have Leslie come on and deep dive and do a little matchmaking session, which you'll hear at the end of our conversation. There is a match for each plant parent personality. So without further ado, here's Leslie. Leslie, my favorite botanical bestie, welcome back to Bloom and Grow Radio.
Yay. I'm so happy to be here. I think it's been a little while, Maria.
I know.
I miss you.
I miss you too. I can't even remember what the last episode, you've done so many. I can't remember what the last episode you did with us. Was it grow? No, it was propagation, right?
Was it propagation or rootology? I can't remember.
It was one of those two.
Okay.
But it was definitely right. A minute ago. It was about where you're back and that's what matters. Back by popular request.
Thank you.
I'm so excited to dive in because you have spotted the next plant trend. And I've been hearing about this trend from you, you know, in my text messages for a while, but I'm so excited to dive in and have you kind of publicly exclaim your love for tiny plants.
Yes. Well, you know, I do kind of like to be the decider. And so, you know, part of it is that I've decided tiny plants need to be a trend, right? So yeah. I'm a little bit of a plant pusher, I will admit. But at the same time, it is also sort of tiny gardening, small space gardening, small space plant keeping is a trend that is growing out, you know, in the marketplace, my pushing aside, simply because of how life has changed for so many people in 2020 and so many new plant enthusiasts and gardening enthusiasts have come to the hobby for so many reasons that we don't have to get into, but that are obvious, and are dealing with small spaces. You know, we're confined in apartments or small homes or small spaces, and many new plant enthusiasts don't have a big yard or a big patio, or, you know, maybe just have a balcony or don't even have a balcony. And they may only have a few windows or a few feet of space in which they really want to bring some nature indoors and engage, but they're limited on space or time or resources or whatever it is. So whether it's houseplants or edible gardening, growing small is a growing bigger trend simply out of necessity, number one. But then from my perspective, there's so many amazing, wonderful, teeny tiny plants to discover that are absolutely fascinating and delightful that you might get into tiny plants as a necessity due to space, but then all of a sudden you discover this whole new world of species you've never seen before, and it kind of becomes a whole obsession unto its own.
Yeah. I mean, I love it because, like you said, especially for beginners, it's a great entry way for people who maybe have always said, I don't have enough space, I can't have plants. But also for plant collectors like me, we're like, my shelves and my windowsills are pretty crowded. Like, I don't have a lot of space, but if I want to keep collecting and stay curious, like, that's what I'm kind of excited about. It's a economic way of continuing to grow my collection. And then also for so many of us who just are obsessed with collecting and obsessed with staying curious and learning more and more about this plant. I mean, I had never even heard of tiny plants before you started telling me about them. And it's this like whole world. So I'm just so curious, as someone who literally doesn't know anything about this variety of plants and also hasn't gotten to read your book yet, I'm just excited to learn more. So what's your story with tiny plants? How did you get into this? Because it's not like they're super duper on the forefront of Instagram and all this stuff quite yet.
I mean, I've always been kind of obsessed with all things tiny and cute. Tiny plants, tiny chihuahuas. I think somebody in college called me Hello Kitty, like trying to make fun of me because of my tiny cute thing fascination. I, of course, took that as a compliment. So we all have origin stories with our plants. And I have many when it comes to sort of standard houseplants and gardening. And I love a good plant origin story. But my lock-in moment when my tiny plant obsession really manifested dates back to, I believe, 1995, if I recall correctly. And I had graduated from college. And so I was doing a postgraduate internship. I didn't have the time or ability to do an internship while I was in college. So I took an internship with the University of Puerto Rico after graduation. And I spent the whole fall down at the Liquio National Rainforest at a teeny tiny little research station up in the mountains, where I slept on my cot every day and trekked out into the rainforest every day to take post-regeneration hurricane data on the rainforest. Hurricane Hugo had come through and completely defoliated the entire El Yunque National Rainforest in 89. And so researchers were there to study the effects of that and how the forest regenerated and what we could do to encourage that regeneration. So there were a lot of experiments going on, and I was there to take data on all the trees. So it was just the most magical time, and I loved being there, just quiet except for at night when you try to sleep in the rainforest in Puerto Rico. The little native frogs there, the coquis, sing all night long, and eventually you get used to it and you can't sleep without it. But it was just every day I was trekking out into the rainforest to take data, and I had a lot of extra time on my hands because I couldn't go anywhere. So I decided, also interested in ferns, that I would develop my own research project in addition to the research I was there to do for UPR. Because, you know, classic, you know, like, don't have enough to do already, let's make more work. So I developed along with another researcher, a seasoned researcher there, Joanne Sharp, she kind of took me under her wing and said, hey, you should develop this into a research project. So I started hunting for ferns and tiny ferns around the rainforest to look at the impact of our involvement there on the impact that we were having on other species. So as I was going around my day-to-day routine of taking data and hunting for tiny ferns and all sorts of things, I spotted this little dot of bright fuchsia pink just way out of the corner of my eye. When you're trained on finding tiny things, and I'm also obsessed with herps, tiny frogs, tiny reptiles, so I'm always looking for critters. You're like, one eye is on the data you're taking, one eye is always out, look, you know, like eyeing for little tiny cool things. I spotted this little dot of color over on some rocks, and I ran over as well, you can only run so fast in the rainforest. I carefully lumbered over to these rocks and discovered a tiny population of lithophilic microorchids, a species of Lepanthes rupestris, which is only native in that Luquillo Mountain Range area of Puerto Rico. And I just about died. I just about died of cuteness. Like, and there is, I have this origin story is in the beginning, the preface of my book, Tiny Plants. And you'll see a very artistic, I call it artistically blurry, photo of this little population of microorchids that I discovered back in the day. You know, we had to take real pictures with real film and real camera. And the humidity in the rainforest was not nice to my camera. So a lot of my pictures didn't turn out great, but there is proof of life of this little tiny orchid I found. And from that moment on, I just took a deep dive into the world of, you know, microspecies, tiny plants, and then even started building vivariums and keeping poison dart frogs and all sorts of things. And when you go into that world, you go into a world of tiny plant species that are really not a part of mainstream plant keeping culture. And it's really wonderful and fascinating. And you don't have to have a lot of space, which is great. You can collect hundreds of them in a small area. So that's my origin story. My origin story starts with the micro orchid, and it really hasn't ever let up since then.
Do you have upcoming travel to a different country scheduled, or maybe you have a relative or a friend who speaks a different language that you want to connect with on a deeper level? Why not easily learn a new language with my favorite language learning tool, Rosetta Stone? I recently went to Italy and I brushed up on my Italian by using the Rosetta Stone app for like 20 minutes every morning. It was so easy to use. It was part of my morning practice. It was really fun. And let me tell you, Rosetta Stone works. It brushed me up so good. I was getting around Italy easily speaking Italian after putting those reps in. If you don't already know, Rosetta Stone is the trusted language learning tool available on desktop or as an app. Rosetta Stone has 30 years of experience, millions of users, and 25 languages offered. It makes language learning so fun, so easy, and so fast. It immerses you in the language, which is the fastest way to learn. So it's an intuitive process with no English translation, so you really learn to speak, listen, and think in the language. It even coaches you on pronunciation with its true accent feature, which is like basically having a physical trainer for your accent. It's so wild. The desktop and app options make it so easy to do consistently, and it's an amazing value. Lifetime membership has all 25 languages forever for any and all trips and language needs in your entire life. So this year I brushed up on my Italian, but next year Billy and I want to go to Japan so we could learn conversational Japanese with it. That's lifetime access to 25 language courses Rosetta Stone has to offer, and right now they're offering 50% off. It's an insane steal. So don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, Growing Joy with Plants listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life, plant friends. It's an insane deal. Redeem 50% off at Rosetta, R-O-S-E-T-T-A, stone.com/today.
I've totally come up with a new thing that you need to put on your business card. Leslie Halleck, fern hunter.
Fern hunter. Yes. Plant
that
hunter.
Is a hilarious title. Fern,
yes. Fern herp hunter. You know, when I go to the jungle, as I'm prone to do, I do like to go to the jungle wherever, you know, I'm always seeking out the most, you know, dangerous of tiny critters. And so guides never like to have me around because I always want to go looking for these things, you know, but mm-hmm. Yes, tiny ferns, tiny plants, tiny critters. I'm always on the hunt. So that's a good one. I'm going to add that to my list of monikers.
That's so funny. And I can totally relate to being obsessed with tiny things. Like I used to love Polly Pocket and like all the little, you know, like yeah. Or I didn't even care about Barbies, but I was like obsessed with the little kitchen and like all the yes. pots and pans yes. that like the Barbie got. Or yes. even like Billy makes fun of me for this, and maybe this isn't right, but like I love puppies. I'm not like yep. as much of a dog person, but like I just like them little. Like I like the little puppy stage.
That's why I have chihuahuas.
Yeah,
I have teeny
exactly.
tiny.
You have eternal puppies.
forever puppies. I have teeny tiny dogs. And you know, have you ever watched those videos like the teeny tiny baking where people make like teeny tiny
yes,
cakes and teeny,
I'm
obsessed with those, right? So this is for any of you obsessed with watching right. teeny tiny baking and teeny tiny furniture. I now give you itty bitty house plants, teeny tiny plants. Yes.
I love that. So, okay. When you say microspecies, is their DNA different? Is it they're literally different types of plants? Or is it that like the plants, they're just considered small until the plants get to a certain size?
No, these are genetically tiny species. So
okay.
all of the plants that I talk about in Tiny Plants, in my book, Tiny Plants, are genetically tiny. Some that I feature will be tiny in relation to sort of the standard species that you may find, for example, you know, like the Dracaena, you know, samurai, the dwarf, what used to be Sansevieria is now Dracaena, or the miniature prayer plant, miniature Maranta. So, you know, they may get 4 to 6 inches tall, but the regular plants get much larger. At down to the itty bittiest, tiniest of microorchids, you know, that are only a few millimeters in size. So genetically tiny. So none of the plants that I'm talking about in the book are plants that are going to eventually get, you know, 3 feet tall. Once you move them to a bigger container, these are plants that are going to stay tiny. They've evolved to be tiny through, you know, whatever was adventitious for them in their natural environment and the pollinators that they co-evolved with. And I talk a little bit about that in the first chapter of the book. I go into a little bit of the evolutionary botany of tiny plants, which we probably don't have time to go into today, but you can read that in the book, that describe why plants might be so tiny when, you know, evolution has often favored the large, you know, be it plants or animals. These tiny species have found ways to compete and persist by staying itty bitty. And that's, to me, what makes them so fascinating and so fun to collect.
That's so interesting. Because, yeah, like I'm looking at my Peperomia prostrata right now, which is a cutting. So it is in a tiny, it's in like a 2 or 1 2-inch pot. And the leaves are very small. But because the prostrata can grow real long, then it wouldn't be a tiny plant.
It's still a tiny plant there. And there are many peperomias that stay even tinier than prostrata. So I would still consider prostrata, you know, a tiny plant. I mean, when you're talking about the type of plants that you normally collect, your large monsteras, your bigger aroids, you know, your dracaenas, your, you know, everything else is on, you know, can generally grow much, much larger. So the plants we're talking about are plants that are going to maintain a very small footprint. And like I said, some of the plants, you know, maybe lithops or some of the microorchids, you know, I mean, we're talking about an inch tall maximum. Some of the plants in the book can potentially get longer and vine, but overall the leaves are going to be tiny and you can keep them in a tiny footprint.
Lithops is a plant that I'm so curious about. What little weirdos they, I mean, I just found my new plant shop in my new town and it's unbelievable. Shout out to Fairacre Farms. They have a whole greenhouse of just tropical plants and they had a whole table full of lithops. And I was just like standing there looking at those little lithops, otherwise known as living stones. They basically look like little rocks, but they open up. Yeah, like
little tiny butts.
Yeah, like a little booty in the soil. But then they bloom, the craziest bloom. So I'm super curious about lithops. And are lithops in your book?
Yes, of course they're in my book. Okay. Do you want to know why?
Yeah,
because one of my favorite tiny species is Lithops leslii, particularly Lithops leslii, variety hornii, even better.
That's hilarious.
Look, nobody said botanists didn't have a sense of humor, twisted humor. So I actually have that variety in the book, believe it or not. So I have some little Lithops leslii and leslii hornii.
That's hilarious.
So I do talk about lithops and related genera and species. And so I feature, I mean, obviously I'm limited on space in the book and I could go on for miles and miles about all the different plant species, but, you know, I had to pick, you know, select species to feature. So I have a section, you know, that's for windowsill culture, meaning they can tolerate somewhat lower humidity, and lithops would fall into that category. And then I have a section for under glass for species that really have to have higher humidity. And on each feature, I kind of feature a main species, but then I also give you a list of other genera, other species that are related that you can grow the same way. And so there's pretty good sizable lists for each featured plant of things that probably, you know, most of your listeners have never seen before or never heard about. And I think it's going to be a fun dive for everybody to start learning about cool little plants, cool little tiny plants like lithops. Yes, I'm obsessed with lithops. They're not the easiest for beginners, I will tell you.
Oh, really? Because I would assume, is it because maybe they rot because they're so close to the soil?
Well, so I joke sometimes that sometimes if I accidentally walk by my lithops with the watering can and they see it, that they just croak on me. So you have to be, they have, I go into their kind of seasonal watering needs in the book, but they do have seasonal watering changes, and it's very easy to overwater them. So you have to be very careful, and it's, you know, definitely artificial grow lighting indoors. In low light, you know, you can rot them in a snap. So there are going to be some plants in the book that will be a little more challenging, you know, for the collectors, and some that are going to be much easier for the beginner. I try to have a lot of variety for people to choose from and experiment with.
That's awesome. Maybe I'll get the lithops and try it. I just, in my new desk in my new home, I got a really cool desk lamp and put the Soltec new Vita grow bulb in it that they have.
Sure.
And I have a few little tiny, my Peperomia prostrata and a couple of other little tiny plants. Lithops could be a great addition to my little teeny plant corner on my desk.
Yes. You just have to don't water it when you water the other stuff. Right. Follow the watering instructions.
Forget about it. Yeah. I'll read the instructions in your book.
Okay.
So speaking of that, is just by nature of them being tinier, does the care change, or do I pretty much care for a tiny begonia the way I would care for a normal begonia?
You know, some of the basics still apply. I actually have a pretty substantial care section in tiny plants because there are some specific tweaks that you're going to make. I find that many tiny species can be much more water sensitive. So I go into making choices about what type of water that you're using. I personally water a lot of mine with rainwater.
Dang.
Yeah, you know, tiny carnivorous plants, microorchids, much more sensitive to some of the chemicals that are in tap water. So I go into that quite a bit in the book. Obviously, tiny plants are in much tinier containers with a tinier soil volume. And this means what? That container is probably going to dry out a lot more quickly. So you may need to have a very different watering regimen other than lithops. We'll put those aside. But for many others, you're going to water them potentially much less, but more frequently. Some will need to be kept under glass due to high humidity needs. What tools you use to water with, you know, when you try to water a 1.5-inch container with a watering can, that's going to be an interesting, you know, you can kind of lift the whole plant out. So there's, and then fertilizer too. You know, you have to be really careful with fertilizer. Oftentimes I recommend cutting, you know, fertilizer down to maybe a quarter concentration of application. And I have all those recommendations in the book too. So yes and no. Some of the basic principles apply, but how you execute those tasks with tiny plants can be very different. But in terms of time and resources, it's a lot less input than for a lot of your bigger plants. So on the one hand, I sort of dote. I always say I dote over my tiny plants much more, but they take far fewer resources, right? Overall, right? So I admit that I am a lazy plant keeper when it comes to my bigger standard house plants, especially in my office. I completely ignore them. I'm terrible. Professional horticulturists, we always ignore our office plants. Like that seems to be a thing. But all of my teeny tiny plants, they're like my little baby. So I actually have much more of a relationship, and it's more of a verb. My plant care with my tiny plants is sort of a daily kind of wellness
ritual.
Activity for me.
Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. It's a daily ritual. So on the one hand, it can take a lot less resources, but there are specific techniques that you need to use for tiny plants that you may not do for your bigger plants.
You're speaking my language, Leslie, a daily wellness ritual.
It is. And I did. I was thinking about that the other day. And I thought, you know, I'm just so happy I have, you know, all these little tiny babies because they're so fun. And when you get into the species that I recommend for keeping under glass that sound super high maintenance, you'll actually find that the way that I show you how to keep them in glass vessels and under cloche, glass bell jars can make them incredibly low maintenance.
Right.
And you hardly ever have to do anything to them. And I don't mean planting them in terrariums. I mean, keeping them as potted specimens. And I show you how to do that in the book. But I love checking on them. I love checking on my little teeny tiny itty bitty babies. And it's a good mental health wellness ritual.
Yes. Yeah. And you've texted me some photos of little blooms of your little plants as you've been writing this book that you've gotten in, like the little blooms are just so cute.
Oh, those are the microsyningia. Okay. That's a particular fascination of mine. And I will say, yes, they're so teeny tiny. So they're a gesneriad. So African violets, many of your listeners may be familiar with some of the larger syningia that have those big caudex, swollen stems and silver foliage. The microsyningia are itty bitty tiny. I mean, some of the plants don't even get an inch tall, but they bloom. Like the ratio of the flower size to the plant is exponential. And I just am obsessed with them. And I'm obsessed with teeny tiny handmade pottery. I commissioned a potter, an artist here in Dallas, to make me a selection of teeny tiny handmade glazed pots that are all kind of in that 1 inch, you know, 1.5 inch range. And that's what I sent you a picture of, one of my teeny tiny microsyningia blooming in this tiny 1 inch glazed pot. And it's just adorable. And I keep those under glass and I love those. So they can be a little tough to find, but I'm trying to start a resurgence of availability, like single-handedly. I'm trying to make them
do it. It's going to be you, Leslie.
I'm trying really hard. So, you know, that is, I think, something to bring up. All of these plants that I'm talking about, some of them might be relatively easy for you to find, and some of them are going to require you to do some hunting, which for me is part of the fun.
Right. Cue Leslie Fern Hunter, Leslie Tiny Plant Hunter, just trying to make us all little tiny plant hunters.
Well, you know what? It's fun. I'm just going to put it that way. It's fun. It's fun to hunt for species that, you know, not everybody has.
Yeah.
Right?
Also, I feel like the hardest to find stuff, like also finding people who have those species and then figuring out plant swaps is also super fun.
Yeah, I love that. And I hope, you know, once we're getting back to sort of live in-person gatherings and events, you know, I started doing plant swaps for when my book Plant Parenting came out. You know, people wanted me to do you know, book talks or come to their garden center. And I thought, you know, that's just boring. Let's do something interactive. So I started doing plant swaps, which were super popular. And of course, tiny plant swaps are going to happen at some point in 2021. Once we can all get back to that, I'm going to be doing some tiny plant swaps, but I would encourage enthusiasts to do that. And maybe in some of my groups, maybe encourage some trades that way. But what you will also find in tiny plants is I've given you a pretty healthy reference section of vendors, plant vendors that specialize in a lot of these tiny plants that you may have never heard of before, because these are folks that grow specifically for, you know, aquascaping or for herp enthusiasts like myself who, you know, raise poison dart frogs or lizards, and you build vivariums that require certain tiny species of plants for that habitat. Your standard plant shop or garden center, you know, may not necessarily have a lot of these. So I also hope to introduce everybody to a world of all of these growers who are growing teeny tiny aeroids and teeny tiny peperomias and teeny tiny microsyningia that you've just never seen before. So it's also going to open up a whole new world of plant shopping for you, I'm sorry to say.
Oh, Leslie.
Sorry.
No, I'm here for it. I'm ready. I've got my new home. I've got space. I'm ready to grow my collection again. So I'm excited to find some fun new plant vendors to support in my endeavors.
Yeah, good. Sorry, but not sorry.
Yeah, sorry, not sorry.
Thank you, Modern Sprout, for sponsoring today's episode. Plant Friends, if you're looking for a Mother's Day gift, or if you're a mama looking to get a gift on Mother's Day, drop hints to your partner for everything on Modern Sprout's website. They seriously have the most amazing assortment of giftable planty options for you, from gorgeous, sleek grow lights that blend in seamlessly with your home, to thoughtfully curated gift sets centered around relaxation, grow kits, and my favorite accessory that is both practical and gorgeous, their 3-liter watering can. Seriously, Maria, you're talking about a watering can in an ad? Yes, sweet plant friend. It is seriously the best watering can I've ever had. I'm obsessed with it. I know it's crazy, but it's designed so intentionally for plant parents and it solves so many problems. So number one, it holds 3 liters of water, which is amazing because for anyone with a large plant collection, it's so annoying to have to constantly refill these tiny watering cans that we all have. Number two, the can has a narrow base that's designed to be able to sit on a windowsill, which is freaking brilliant. And number four, it's brushed bronze and it's so sleek and it like is so stylish. Like I love styling it with my plants, which is weird, but true. Other options for Mother's Day gifts that are under $40, my favorite are their Take Care gift sets. They're beautifully packaged, thoughtfully sourced, and they focused on taking time for yourself. And what better thing to do for your mama than give her a little self-care package? I particularly love the Take 5 set, which comes with a lavender grow kit so they can grow their own lavender, a meditation timer, which is adorable and so practical, and an essential oil roller to relax. I mean, who wouldn't want that? If you want to splurge on mom, you could also totally get them the Brushed Bronze Smart Grow House, which is their grow house that has a grow light in it, and then match it with the watering can and make a little pair, or do a grow kit and a grow house, or mix and match. They really have so much stuff on their website. The options are endless. So head to modernsprout.com and check all of their products out and use code 15BLOOM at checkout. Once again, that's 15BLOOM at checkout for 15% off at modernsprout.com. Thank you, Allagash Brewing Company, for sponsoring today's episode, Plant Friends. If you enjoy a frosty beverage that contains alcohol, if you are 21 and older, at the end of the day, while unwinding with your plants, which I do, especially when it gets warm out, Fineacre, Allagash Brewing Company's newest beer, it's their first year-round organic beer. It's going to be your new go-to drink, I gotta tell you. It's Allagash's nod to the land where its organic ingredients originated. So the beer is organic. And as plant parents, a lot of us care about organic soil or organic healthy eating. So why not have organic healthy drinking, right? So Fineacre is their Belgian inspired golden ale. And it is so freaking refreshing, plant friends. You can really appreciate it if you're like a beer aficionado or if you're just someone who likes a tasty drink. Sometimes it's really just nice to take a self-care moment and kick back with your plants and a drink after a long day. And I've been doing that with Fineacre lately. And it's just crisp and delightful, I gotta say. And super exciting news, if you like free plant things, Fineacre's launch supports organic gardening and farming. So Allagash is launching an epic sweepstakes called the Beer Gardening with Allagash Sweepstakes, and I have partnered with them. So the winner gets a free hour-long plant consultation with me over Zoom, a $300 gift card to Bloomscape, which is houseplants delivered straight to your door, $300 worth of plants delivered to your door, $100 Allagash merch gift card, and the chance to direct $2,500 to a community garden nonprofit of your choice so you can give back to your community while also getting a ton of free stuff for yourself. So check out the show notes for details on how to enter the sweepstakes and find your nearest Fineacre. Fineacre and other Allagash beers are alcoholic and for drinkers 21 and older, so please drink responsibly, plant friends. All right, back to Leslie. I don't have a lot of tiny plants, but I do. You mentioned the Sansevieria Samurai, which is actually, you gifted me one of those a couple years ago. And I do have to say, I think of all my collection, the tiny plants that I have, like I'm obsessed with that plant because it's small, but the leaves are chubby. It's like a little chubby guy.
It's fat.
And it's like a little chunky guy. And it's also has like these rose gold tips kind of on the leaves. And it's grown, like it's been really fun to watch the leaves grow. I feel like it's actually grown faster than my other Sansevieria, which have been interesting. But what's your favorite tiny plant of the moment?
Oh, gosh. Well, I'm always obsessed with micro orchids, which can be challenging. There's some that are easier that I provide in the book, and some that are very challenging. So, you know, I have an orchidarium, you know, where I have, you know, a little, you know, I have vape water vapor, I have fans, I have all of that, you know, to keep all of my more temperamental micro orchids. But that's super fun. My gosh, I'm obsessed with micro orchids. Mm-hmm. But I love the micro syningia. So I'm definitely into those. I mean, kind of everything's my favorite at any given time. You know, I love some of the teeny tiny peperomias that you may not be familiar with. I love Euphorbia obesa, a little baseball plant. That's a great easy care succulent that's just so visually stunning. I love Lithops, of course. So it's hard to pick one. I'm obsessed with pygmy sundews right now. I'm actually propagating them. I'm going to do a Instagram post on that when the book comes out, which is now. Right. So yeah, I'm kind of, you know, I'm an everythingist all the time.
You love it all. So yeah.
Any given day, I might give you a different teeny tiny favorite.
Well, and I'm sure just like houseplants, there's the right tiny plants for people. So I'm excited the end of this episode, you're going to do a little matchmaking with my personalities. But before we get into that, let's talk a little bit about styling tiny plants, because I feel like there's probably opportunities to style with tiny plants that are going to be different than with our big plants. Like, you know, we're not getting like the three-tiered IKEA plant stand to put our monsteras, you know, our tiny plants on. Like those big plant stands are probably reserved for larger plants. And also, if these plants need light, I would imagine they probably need to have different setups as well. So what are your like styling tips for tiny plants?
You definitely have a lot more options. That's actually one of my favorite things about tiny plants, is that I get to decorate with them more than the big plants that kind of have to stay where they are, you know, you know, once you have them in a good spot where they're happy, you're not necessarily moving them all the time. And you may not have space to move them. Teeny tiny plants, on the other hand, can get moved around all the time. And so I love doing tablescapes with them, you know, instead of like cut flowers and things. So I have a tablescape picture in the book. I set them up in different, I call them vignettes, on bookshelves or on my sideboard, or just, I move them around all the time, but they do. Yes. Most of my teeny tiny plants I'm growing under LED grow lights in the house somewhere. I have decorative lights that I use, for example, and there's a picture of this in the book. I have some bookshelves in my dining room, and I have some of the, and this is not a product endorsement, these are just the lights. I have the low profile Mod Sprout LEDs, the white ones.
Oh yeah. I have those too in my bookshelf.
Yeah. Those are perfect because you can set different DLI. You can have lower light levels and different durations. So you can set those for different plant species, which is great. So I have collections of many of my high humidity plants in vintage glass vessels that I collect, displayed under those nice looking grow lights on bookshelves in my dining room. So that's really cool. Every time, you know, somebody sees it, they're like, oh my gosh, that's so cool. You know, and you can move those around, and then the plant may go back to its home. You know, I have some plant shelves with more utilitarian grow lighting that I keep them on, that I cycle plants in and out of, so that you can decorate your table or sideboard, or you can switch plants around on your bookshelf. So, you know, if you don't have adequate light, a teeny tiny plant can go there for a few days and then it can go back to its ideal light conditions. You know, you can't do that with a big philodendron. You can't just, you know, stick it wherever. There's not always room. So that's kind of the fun, cool thing about tiny plants, is that there's a lot of ways you can decorate with them. And I love handmade Wardian cases, antique, you know, glass vessels or cookie jars. I mean, there's so many ways you can display individual species of plants inside vessels. I think for decor purposes, that's how I like to do it. And then you can move them around. So there's just a lot more flexibility with your teeny tiny plants in terms of how you want to show them off or display them or change out your living space with them day to day.
You're such an antique gal. You're such an antique lover. It makes me think we just moved and, you know, we've got most of our stuff, but where we live is antique country. Like everywhere every street you drive on, there's like 10 antique stores. So we've started like stopping in and seeing what there is. There are so many domes or like old glass cereal jars that I'm like, you could put a plant in that. You could put a plant in that. You and Billy's like, oh my God, Maria, relax. But I'm like, this is so fun. And so I've refrained from buying anything yet because I'm still adjusting, but I'm like definitely keeping notes on the different places that I've seen the things that I want. Like I found a few of those like antique domes, like the Beauty and the Beast style, like domes, you know, that she had the row under the rose.
Mm-hmm. We call those cloches.
A cloche.
Yes. Yeah. That's a cloche.
Like I've got like two different stores that sell cloches and I'm like comparing prices and getting ready. So yeah, I'm so excited about that. And then the other thing is the thing too that I feel like Tiny Plants draws me to is the tiny pots, like you said. Like number one, I have several like one, maybe they're 2-inch, but they almost look one. Yeah, maybe they're 2-inch terracotta pots. They were like a dollar because they're so freaking small. So it's really affordable. And then they're so small that I have like three or four of them. Like you can cluster several plants together on such a small surface. So I have them on my desk and the different, I have a Peperomia prostrata, a Peperomia hope, and a string of hearts all together. And the different patterns of the leaves, the different shapes, like it's such a cutely styled little cluster of plants on my desk where like I could barely fit one 8-inch pot of a snake or whatever, but I could have three different tones of leaves, which bring me so much joy throughout the day. So that is something cool too, for sure.
Yes. If you want an excuse to go vintage shopping and hunting for cool glass vessels or cloche or wardian cases, this book is going to give you every excuse you need because I am obsessed with that. And my collection of vintage mushroom jars and egg vessels and cloches is a slightly out of control, but that's okay. I love it. I love it. And then even if you only have a tiny space. So if you're at a desk, I mean, you know, and especially with everybody working from home, you know, plants improve your mental wellness. They improve your performance. They improve your stamina. They improve your health overall. So you may not have room for some big houseplants on your desk where you have to work all day long every day, but you can fit a great cluster of teeny tiny plants and rearrange them right on your desk where you can't fit other things. So that's another great point is that, you know, tiny plants allow you to bring some nature into spaces that might be otherwise difficult to do. And, you know, hence the name of the book, Tiny Plants, Discover the Joys of Growing and Collecting Itty Bitty Houseplants. That's, you know, this Tiny Plants is a little bit of a just a personal passion project for me. And I'm thankful that Quarto, you know, indulged my personal passion and let me do this because I think 2021 is kind of the perfect time for this to drop. I'm hoping it just brings people some fun and whimsy and joy and a whole way to expand the happiness that comes from their houseplant habit, you know?
It's so fun. And I feel like year four of my plant parenthood now, like I'm pushing myself to consider like what is going to make me curious this year. Cause I feel like for me, the biggest and most fun part about caring for plants is this like curious side of myself has kind of been reawakened. Like as an adult, you're not in school anymore. Like you're not, you know, learning in the capacity that you're used to and trying to figure out like what is going to inspire you to like continue this hobby. And there's so many different directions to take it. But that's the thing about tiny plants that has me literally curious and excited too, is like, wow, there's this whole type of plant I didn't even know about. Or I didn't even realize I had, because I actually am looking around and I do have some tiny plants, but it's making me be like, okay, what else could I do with these guys? So I want to do a little matchmaking with you.
Okay.
You know, I've got my 5 plant parent personalities because you actually helped me with them when I was, you know, launching the test. I would love for you to do a little matchmake and knowing the personality types, what would be a good tiny plant for each type of person?
Okay. You start with whatever personality you want to go for, and I will throw out
Let's start
good
with
companions.
Let's start with mindful plant parent, because on my good days, I'm a mindful plant parent, and I know a lot of people in our community are. So let's start there.
Yeah. So mindful, someone who's going to engage on a daily basis and kind of dote over their plants and take care of things. So I would put, say, the miniature prayer plant, because, you know, Marantas can be a little divas sometimes, or some of the tiny shamrocks, the gold-veined shamrock, Oxalis debilis, because they are water happy and they will plop over completely wilted on you if they don't get their water when they want it as frequently as they want it. So I think the and both of those are and related species that I show you in the book are really, if you love interesting foliage, those are going to be great for that too.
Okay, love it. I didn't realize I love my purple oxalis. I'm obsessed with it. And the flowers are so small and dainty already. I can't even imagine a miniature version how little they would be and cute.
Yeah, some of the oxalis, you know, get a little bigger, you know, they're all relatively small. So it's a good small houseplant species. I have some lovely purple, smaller species, but other than the big triangularis, which you're probably used to with the big purple leaves, there's lots of tinier oxalis. And the one I have in the book in particular stays quite a bit smaller. And I love it. It's just got gorgeous foliage patterns. So you should check some of those out. And they're fun to propagate too.
All right, let's talk about the low-key plant parent, who is someone who, either because of their lifestyle or, you know, they travel or they're busy or just really don't want to be like doting on their plants all the time. They need a low maintenance, kind of hardier houseplant setup. So what would be a good miniature for them?
I'm going to push the low keys to probably some of the more succulent type plants. Any of the Haworthiopsis alligator plant or Haworthia's related species. Not only will they tolerate a little bit lower light levels than, you know, a lot of other succulents, you can be a forgetful waterer and they're going to be fine. So alligator plant are great and they're pretty tiny, so they don't take up a lot of space. And then I mentioned the baseball plant, Euphorbia obesa, which is just so fat and cute. Mm-hmm. And it can go for pretty long periods of time without too much water attention as well, but it's got great foliage patterns. So I'd say those two would be good for those that like to step away a little more often than the mindful plant parent.
Love it. What about the design-based plant parent? And that's someone who really is collecting plants for the aesthetic of that urban jungle vibe and kind of the look as well as the living aspect of plants.
Yeah. So for sort of that foliage form style aspect of decorating, but on a smaller scale, I would probably bring up the dwarf samurai, Dracaena or Sansevieria. That's a great one. And then creeping button fern, not the button fern that you see out in the marketplace, but this is Pyrosia, creeping button fern. It's one of the fewer tiny ferns that's got great fuzzy brown foliage and a little creeping habit that's happy on your windowsill. It doesn't have to be kept under glass, but it's got abundant tiny leafy foliage, which I think is really, really pretty and, you know, planted in white pottery. So you get that really contrasting look between the foliage and the pottery is really pretty. So I think the creeping button fern would be a great one. And then the samurai dwarf Dracaena is a great one. And then also, like, if then you want to get into kind of decorating with vessels like I do, then you go to some of the easier care like Peperomia quadrangularis or the Begonia peridot under glass in a glass vessel. And then you can decorate with those. So there's some easier care species that can be kept under glass or under a cloche that don't require a lot of care, but they amp up the style, right? That you can decorate with those.
Your white pot thing just reminded me, I want to give a shout out to one of our Patreon listeners. Her Instagram is plants on a paper towel roll. It's like one of the most creative Instagram accounts I've ever seen with plants. And literally it's all white background. And then she, oh my God, her plant collection is epic. And she styles the plant photos. She just puts them on a paper towel roll. So like they literally are floating in white. And it is the coolest Instagram account. And really the green against the white looks amazing. So shout out. Everyone go follow her. It's a really interesting creative account. Okay, urban farmer. So this is someone who likes to grow edibles. Are there edible little plants?
Oh, of course. I've actually been growing micro veg, as I call it, for a long time. As soon as some of the newer micro cultivars began to become available a few years back, mostly because of all of my indoor growing, my gardening under lights growing, and all of my intensive vegetable gardening. So while this book does not focus on micro veggies. There's another book coming out, or that may already be out, that you can look for that. But I love teeny tiny tomatoes. Like there's a cultivar called Micro Tom. And then Red Robin is even a tinier one that I've grown for years that I love. Territorial Seed Company has some, is where I have gotten those before. I can't vouch for their ability right now. And again, that's just a, not an endorsement, just a random
source. So funny. Territorial Seed is a sponsor of this episode. They're my seed partner.
Well, I bought a lot of seed from them, and especially micro tomatoes.
Shout out, Territorial. That's so funny. We did not plan that. And I'm growing their Red Robins this year because I was looking for
their Red Robin.
I didn't realize a micro dwarf tomato or a micro dwarf species is technically, obviously, dumber. It's a tiny plant. But yeah, I like to grow micro dwarf tomatoes because they fit in containers. And yep. I've heard the Red Robin is amazing. I've never grown it before, but I'm going to try it this year.
Yeah, there's actually a picture of it. There might be a picture of it in Gardening Under Lights or Plant Parenting. I've been growing that cultivar. These are hybrid cultivars typically for many years. So I'm way into the tiny veg because, you know, when you grow inside, you need to grow in small spaces. And the cool thing about some of the micro tomatoes is that they will produce with slightly lower light volume than the bigger tomatoes, right? It takes a lot more energy for that big plant growth and big fruit. So you can grow the Red Robins and Micro Toms and other, and there are some other smaller varieties as well, you know, on a grow shelf. So again, this book, while it doesn't address that, I've been micro vegging for many years, as I call it. So there's lots of cool, and I think I've listed Territorial Seed Company in all my books as a source. So yeah.
Shout out, Territorial. We love you.
I buy from everybody I recommend. You know, I'm typically not getting stuff from people. I am a customer. I'm buying stuff. So when I've recommended a source in my book or give them a shout out, it's because I buy stuff from them. So I personally like to purchase as a customer.
Yeah, I love that. And then last but not least, I mean, I feel like tiny plants could be for the curious collector in general, for someone who just wants to collect tiny plants. But is there maybe a specific type of genus within tiny plants that could be fun to collect a bunch of different species under?
Well, you can do it with all of them, but I will say once you start to go down that rabbit hole and you get the itch, and it takes hold of you, then the micro orchids are a serious draw because they're just so amazing. The micro syningia, very cool, for you to hunt for. The pygmy sundews, I'm kind of obsessed with, and they are micro species of sundews, carnivorous plants, which are generally small, but the pygmy sundews, you're going to die when you see some of the pictures of them in my book. I mean, they're like the size of an eraser head. They're so tiny, but they're great for windowsill culture. They do not have to be kept under glass, which is kind of crazy because you think they're so tiny and they like moisture. I keep them sitting in rainwater all the time, but they're right out on a windowsill. Yeah. I mean, there are many things I could say that you could collect. I mean, you could do the same with peperomias. There's lots of tiny peperomias that are great for growing under glass that people may not be familiar with. And the great thing about peperomias in general is that they're pretty resilient. But yes, I have some teeny tiny peperomias.
I had a listener over quarantine. I did a plant swap with a listener who sent me peperomia. What's it called? Rubicola.
Yeah, that's in the book.
Yeah. Oh, is it really? Oh my God. Yeah. This plant is amazing.
It's gorgeous. It's one of my faves. So it's actually one of the featured peperomias. Yeah. And then there's some even way tinier species for under glass culture.
Yeah. If you like the watermelon style, the listener reached out to me because I love plants that look like watermelon, any version of watermelon vine, watermelon, anything, I'm obsessed. And I had never heard of that species before, but she said, yeah. And it's a very similar watermelon-y type look. And the red beneath the leaves are red and the stems are red. And it's like so gorgeous. But I don't see it that often in plant shops.
Right. Correct. Well, and again, you know, you may find that you have to go to some of these alternative tropical and aquatic plant vendors to find these. Peperomia rubella is one of my favorites. It is one of the more succulent type peperomias, like prostrata, and hence the Latin name rubella. The stems and the undersides of the leaves are just this, it's like pomegranate. It's the most intense, beautiful pomegranate color. Oh. that is stunning and it's relatively easy to take care of. That would be a good one for one of your low key plant parents that yeah. you know, you don't have to water it a ton. And yeah, so, you know, and the other thing is a lot of these species are not patented. You can propagate them, you know, mm-hmm. and do swaps with your friends. So that's another fun thing about a lot of these tiny plant species.
Totally. Okay, so I'm so excited for this book, and obviously I'm excited for the information in the book and all the different plants that you're going to talk about and the care and the science. I mean, you are so, you're the best teacher ever, but I'm really more excited for the photos too. Like, I think just looking at all of these plant species that we've been talking about and also just plants I've never seen before, I'm excited to use it as a picture book almost. But I know that the book is currently on pre-order. It's launching sometime in June, but it's best for us to support you to pre-order the book now. So that happens on Amazon. We'll link in the show notes. But when the book is live, where else can we find the book and support you?
It is, of course, online. You can get it at Amazon or Barnes & Noble, any of the other Indiegogo online publishers. So you can get it online. Check with your local bookshop. So hopefully it will be in stock. If your local bookshop does not have it, you can ask them for it and see if they will order it for you. Of course, you can go to LeslieHalleck.com and go to my shop. And that's where I will sell signed copies. It always takes a little longer for you to get them from the author. So if you're willing to be a little patient, you can order directly from me. But yes, should be everywhere books are sold. And yes, I took a lot of photographs for you. So it should also be fun for you just to peruse through and check out all the images as well.
And of course, all the amazing information. I mean, just the fact that you have a section on botany for tiny plants is very exciting.
You know me, I like to make sure you have a little bit of the foundational science. I am a plant geek. I love science. I also love the style. And I always try to combine the two because we want to have fun with it. But I also want to make sure that you learn a little something that you might not have already known.
I love it. Well, congratulations. I'm so excited for you. And keep your eyes peeled. Leslie is sending me a bunch of tiny plants and a little vessel that I did an unboxing for. We're going to wait till the book releases to air it on the YouTube channel, but make sure you're subscribed to the YouTube channel if you're curious to see what some of these plants we're talking about look like. And Leslie, seriously, congratulations. What is this? Your third book, your fourth book? Like, you're a freaking writing machine.
It's my fourth book and third book in 4 years. So I'm amazing. A little wiped out, but hopefully everybody will have a lot of fun with this one. This, you know, Gardening Under Lights and Plant Parenting, you know, although I'm very visual, are very instructional. I hope tiny plants will be inspirational and fun for you.
So fun. Thanks for always keeping your eyes on the horizon for the new plant trends, keeping us informed and inspired and curious. So you're the best.
Thanks. You're the best. No, you're schmoopy.
No, you are.
Love you.
I love you too. Thank you again to Leslie for this awesome conversation. You can check the link in the show notes to snag a tiny plants book for yourself. It's so fun. I got to see an advanced copy of it. And you know, Leslie, all of her books are amazing. Gardening Under Lights, Plant Parenting, which is all about propagation. Her books are like little textbooks in my house that I feel like I'm constantly referring to. And Tiny Plants is the newest one. So check it out. Also, while you're checking that link to go buy Leslie's book, click on the community link in the show notes. It's going to bring you to that wait list that I mentioned for the super secret launch that is coming to our community. It's this really amazing thing that we've been working on behind the scenes. It's rooted in community. It's rooted in education. And our very own Leslie Halleck will be involved with it. So make sure you snag your founding member spot. And more information to come soon. Also, I just wanted to fact check. When Leslie and I were talking about the Red Robin micro dwarf tomatoes, Territorial Seed Company actually didn't sponsor today's episode, but they have been a past sponsor of the podcast. And they do have a lot of micro dwarf tomato seeds, including the Red Robin. And our discount code is still viable for them. So if you're interested in getting those seeds, it's linked in the show notes. And the discount code is Bloom10. So you can check it out. I know everybody loves a little discount. So there it is. Plant friends, it's the growing season. And man, after the year we've all been through, I just feel a change in the air. I feel positivity attracting to our community. I feel so excited about this next season, literal season of spring and summer and growing outdoors, and also the season for our community to grow together. So until next time, my sweet plant friends who I love, keep blooming and keep growing. Plant friend, thank you for tuning in today. If you like what you heard, make sure you're subscribed to the show so you never miss an episode. And while you're there subscribing, why don't you click over to the review section and leave us a review? It would be tremendously helpful for the show, so thanks in advance. If you're looking for more planty content or ways to help and support the show or engage with our community, we've got a ton of options for you. So first, there's the free Bloom and Grow Plant Parent Personality Test. It is a super fun 3-minute test that I made for you that pairs you with your plant parent personality profile, where you'll learn your planty strengths and weaknesses and get a curated list of plants, projects, and podcast episodes that are right up your alley, tailored just for you. The test lives at bloomandgrowradio.com/personality, and you have to let me know what your results are on Instagram. You can find me on Instagram at Bloom and Grow Radio. If you're interested in supporting Bloom and Grow Radio, consider becoming a Patreon plant friend of the show. Patreon plant friends are members of the community who support the show monetarily on a monthly basis for as little as $4 a month, and these magical humans help support the show and bring our content to as many planty eyes and ears as possible. Once you join, you'll also get the secret password to our Facebook group, which I like to call the Plantiest Corner of the Internet. We have a lot of fun over there. You can become a Patreon plant friend at patreon.com/bloomandgrowradio. And of course, you can also just join our newsletter that I like to call the Garden Club. When you join our Garden Club, you'll receive a free download of the exclusive Molly Mansfield Keep Blooming print, which is so adorable. And I'll slide into your inboxes, usually only around twice a month, with plant care tips, recent episodes, and announcements. You can join at bloomandgrowradio.com/community. And for anything else, plant friends, I'm here for you. So feel free to drop me a line when you have an idea for an episode, an event, or maybe even if you're a planty business interested in sponsoring the show. Thanks again for listening. It is my honor and delight to help you keep blooming and keep growing. Plant friends, propagate knowledge and grow some freaking joy. That's the motto of the Growing Joy Garden Society app and platform, otherwise known as the Plantiest and Kindest Corner of the Internet. If you've been an OG listener or a longtime listener, you might also know this app and platform as the Bloom and Grow Garden Party, but with the rebrand, we've rebranded it to the Growing Joy Garden Society. No trolls allowed, kind plant friends only. And if you haven't heard about the society yet, plant friend, you got to join. It's my online community that you can access via iOS or Android app or on your computer that I built to connect our international community of plant friends so we can all nerd out together about plants and celebrate our passion for our beloved plant babies. We have members literally all over the world. I'm so in love with this community of sweet plant friends. I can't say enough amazing things about them. But also, there's a lot of really cool features about the app you might be interested in. There's dedicated hashtags to all sorts of different subsects of planty passions like houseplants, gardening, plant-inspired DIY projects, growing joy, plants and pets, and so many more. There's a plantrepreneur group. So if you're a planty entrepreneur and you want to connect with other planty entrepreneurs, you can join that group to connect and network. There's a plant swap section. Plus, the entire app, and this is my favorite part, is entirely searchable. So say you want to learn more about Hoya, you type the word Hoya into the search bar, and literally every post ever created about Hoya will pop up, so you can click in, see what other people have been posting about Hoya, and learn on your own and crowdsource hair information. It's so cool. But last but not least, it's an amazing way to support the show. Your monthly membership not only goes to sustaining the platform, but it also supports my team of editors, writers, and a community manager that help the world of Bloom and Grow keep growing. So come join us. All you got to do is go to jointhegardensociety.com and sign up for the community plan. Once again, you go to jointhegardensociety.com and click the community plan. Hot take, plant friends. There is no one right starter plant. There, I said it. And you know what? While I'm at it, there are also no real plant killers in the world. There are just people who have not figured out their right plants for their lifestyle. This is why I created the free Plant Parent Personality Test, because Plant Friend, I want you to get thriving alongside your houseplants as quickly as possible. So I made this cutie little Plant Parent Personality Quiz that's totally free for you on my website to take the guesswork out of building your plant collection effortlessly and joyfully. After speaking to thousands of members in our community, I realized that there are about 5 key plant parent personalities, each one with their unique set of strengths, weaknesses, and a unique set of plants that thrive under their care. For example, a mindful plant parent, someone who wants to engage with their plants daily, use them in their morning routines. If someone gifted that plant parent a succulent and they watered it every day, that succulent would die immediately. However, that drought-resistant succulent is a perfect match for a low-key plant parent, which is someone who travels, has kids, is busy, doesn't have time to engage with their plants every day. They're looking to engage with their plants more like once a week or once every couple of weeks. In addition, obviously, to understanding your light and basic plant care that we provide on this podcast, Happy Plant Parenthood is all about discovering your personality and then picking the right houseplants to go with it. It's that simple. No more stressing over your collection. So what plant parent personality type are you, Plant Friend? All you got to do to find out is take my free quiz on my website and let me know. You can access it at growingjoywithmaria.com/personality. After taking the test, you'll get an email with a list of plants, podcast episodes, and planty projects that I think would light you specifically up like a full spectrum grow light. So once again, that's growingjoywithmaria.com/personality for your free plant parent personality test results.